couple of days away from Rosh Hashanah. And on Rosh Hashanah, we're quite familiar with the fact that the Shulchan Aruch writes that there are many different simanim that we take upon ourselves to try to bring ourselves to a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember all the different things that we're trying to highlight. So one of them that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Siman Taf Kuf Pei Gimel, is that on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to eat a number of different items that are all part of the Rubia family. Now, what is part of the Rubia family? So the Shulchan Aruch says you should eat beans, tilsan, vikarsi, vasilka, vitamri, and kra. You should eat beans and leek and beets, dates and squash, all these different items. Why? Because you're supposed to say Yehi Ratzon Sheyirbu Zichuyosenu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have an increase in our zchusim, in our merit. So the question that somebody asked me this week that I really never thought of before, but I think it's such a compelling question, is what does that mean? You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you an inflation in your zchusim. Go do some mitzvahs, and that's the way you'll get more zchusim. Go do something. How could it be you're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, like, you're going to pay him off for something? Like, how's this supposed to work? What does it mean when the Shulchan Aruch says, we eat something and we say, Sheyirbu Zchuyosenu, what are we asking for? What kind of tefillah is it? What's the reality? What's the fact on the ground? Did you do mitzvahs this year, or did you not? Are you worthy of a positive judgment, or are you not? So what are we asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for? I thought it was a really compelling question, and I did not really know where to look for the answer. Somebody told me, I asked a friend of mine, he told me that in the Kloizenberger Rebbe's Tshuva, in the Divrei Yatziv, he has a discussion about this. So I looked and I found, and he does have a discussion about this question. And I think it's a fascinating answer that he gives. So let us try to understand it. What is it that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? What are we soliciting him for something that doesn't seem to be existent? It's just not the fact on the ground. So the answer goes as follows. Let's begin with a passage of the Rambam in Ilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin. So the Rambam tells us, Gedolo Tshuva. Tshuva is so powerful. How do we know? Shemekareves es ha'adam l'shchina. Tshuva is able to connect us to the Shechina. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Famous Pasuk from the Haftorah that we're going to read soon. Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Hatshuva mekareves es ha'rechokim, says the Rambam. Tshuva is able to bring those closer who have been so forlorn, that are so far away. Emesh hayazeh sanei lefnei amakom, says the Rambam. Yesterday, this person was condemned. Yesterday, this person was despised. Yesterday, he was shunned. He was nowhere near HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meshukatz umeruchak umetuav. He was a disgrace. He was a dishonorable member of the Jewish people yesterday. But then, he does tshuva, says the Rambam. Behayom, and after his tshuva process, he is ohu v'nechmad v'karov v'yadid. He is elevated. He's a respected member of the Jewish people. He is now admired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is appreciated. And look what the process of tshuva can do to someone. That's what the Rambam says. Kama me'ula tshuva, says the Rambam. Tshuva is so powerful. Emesh hayazem muvdol me'ashem Elokei Yisrael. Yesterday you were distant. You were detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now you are somebody who's very close. And if you cry out to him, tzoik v'nena miyad. So the Rambam goes through the whole process of tshuva and how it works and how powerful it is. But I want to just focus on one of the great personalities in the Gemara, one of the great Amoraim, who really teaches us so much about the process of tshuva. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Who is one of the greatest Amoraim? Reish Lakish. That's correct. So let's talk about the journey, where Reish Lakish comes from, what are the origins of Reish Lakish, and what does Reish Lakish actually teach us about tshuva itself. So the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Dalet, Rabbi Yochanan, who lived at the time, he was the great Amora of that generation. Rabbi Yochanan was once swimming in the Yarden. He was swimming in the river. And he sees that there's this energetic young man, very athletic, very dynamic personality. And he says to him, you know, Chel Chala Raisa, you should come and use your energy to study Torah. You can be a towering personality in our community. Why are you using all of your energy just to be a person who's out swimming? So they get in a discussion. And Reish Lakish turns back to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, really? You're telling me I should use my energy for learning Torah? I'm telling you, you are so handsome, you are so attractive, I think you should use your beauty for women. So, strange conversation, but that's what he told him. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, you're attracted by my looks, you think I'm very handsome? I have a good idea. I have a sister who's much more beautiful than I am. So how about this? Let's make a deal. If you're willing to come and give up everything you're doing and start learning Torah, I will do the other end of the deal, which is I will give you my sister and you can marry her. Now, how he did that without asking his sister, I don't know. How did he know his sister was going to agree? I'm not sure. But this is the story that the Gemara tells us, and kachabe, that's what happens. Reish Lakish is so excited by this opportunity, and he leaves everything behind, and he gives up all that previous life. He starts applying himself, he comes to learn Torah, and as a result of that, he becomes the great Reish Lakish. He marries the sister of Rabbi Yochanan. They were brothers-in-law, and throughout Shas, you find Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, they were chavrusas, to the point that when Reish Lakish passed away, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan really didn't know what to do with himself. He felt so bereft, he felt so lost, without his greatest friend, without his closest friend, Reish Lakish. So, that is the story of Reish Lakish. In the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, they give us a little bit more of the backstory. So, what exactly happened when he went through this process of tshuva? So, the Medrash tells us, Teide lecha koach ha-tshuva, you should know how powerful tshuva is. How do we know that? You learn it from Reish Lakish. What happened to Reish Lakish? Hayahu shnei reyav baharim. He had two friends and himself who used to hang around in the forest. And what would they do out there? What were they doing in the forest? Anytime anybody would come their way, they would rob them. Gozlim vechomsin kol asher yavar aleim aderech. Anybody who passed them by would not get through safely. They started up with everybody. They stole what was theirs. Ma'aser Rab Shimon. What did Rab Shimon do? He niach l'shnei reyav shodedim baharim. So when Rab Shimon ben Lakish got this idea from Rab Yochanan that he should become a great Talmud Chacham, he should come learn Torah, he should change his ways. So he left his two friends out there in the forest by themselves. Vishav l'lokei avos ha-bechal ibo. And he came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his whole heart. Bitzomu v'tfila. And he went through a sincere process of tshuva. And he would come early every morning and stay late every night in the Beis HaKnesses. And he would put himself out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayosik b'Torah kol yamav v'matnas aniyim. And he made sure that he had his life back on track. Then it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted his tshuva, as we know. And the Ribono Shel Olam welcomed him back into the community. Uviyom Shemes, and the day that he died, it just so happened, says the Medrash, his two old friends from the forest died that day as well. So they all come up to Shamayim, all three of them, and they watch as Reish Lakish is being ushered into this wonderful place, and he's being brought into Gan Eden, and these two friends are being brought into Sheol Tachtios. And they turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say, hey, maybe you don't know who that is. That's our friend Shimon. Shimon used to be one of the Ganavim with us. He used to sit there in the forest robbing everybody, abusing people. So now you're going to put him in Gan Eden? Why is it that we're going left and he's going right? That doesn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to them, well, listen, there's one major difference. The difference is, Zeh asa tshuva b'chayav. Reish Lakish realized that he had an opportunity to do tshuva, to turn his life around, to make life different, and you never took advantage. You kept going on your ways. You stayed in the forest, and for the rest of your life, you lived the same kind of experience as you were before. So they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, let's have another chance. Maybe let us do tshuva now. Give us a chance now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein tshuva ela ad yom hamisa. Unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's too late. Tshuva is a realistic possibility. Tshuva is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, but it's only ad yom hamisa. After that, it's too late. So you can't wake up now and say, we want to do tshuva now, we want to change our fate. It's not going to work. And then the Medrash says, Mashalama dover doma la adam shahirotza lifrash bayam. There's somebody who's going out on a big journey at sea. Now, as you know, there are no supermarkets. There's nowhere to buy anything. Any of the amenities somebody needs on a boat, they have to bring before. There's nowhere to stop along the way. So whatever a person packs up beforehand is what they will have. And whatever they've used up is something that they cannot replenish. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told these two friends of Reish Lakish. That Reish Lakish understood during his lifetime that he's going on a journey at sea, and it's going to be a very intense and long journey. And the only way to survive it is if before one embarks on that journey, they understand now is the time to pack up all the amenities that I need. After you go out on the boat, it's too late. And that is the end of the story with Reish Lakish and his two friends. Now it happens to be that Balei HaTosfos is right in Maseches Baba Metzia that when Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were having that initial conversation, when Rabbi Yochanan bumps into him and he sees this wonderful energetic personality and he tells him he should come back, he says, Chazar b'cha Reish Lakish. He says you should come back. So Tosfos is medayik. Chazar b'cha makes it sound like he used to be religious, then he went off, and now he's telling him, come back. You don't tell a person who never went to yeshiva, who never grew up with Torah and mitzvahs, you don't say, come back. You say, let me present to you what Judaism is. You've never even had a taste of it. But it seems, say the Balei HaTosfos, that Reish Lakish was religious beforehand, and he was a part of the community, and he chose to break away. And after living that kind of life, Rabbi Yochanan was pleading with him and begging him, come back. And he actually did. He came back, And that's really what happened. But you see, say the Bali Atosis, you see the power of tshuva, that even when you have a person who knows better, you have a person who knows exactly how they're supposed to be living life. They know exactly that everything they're doing now is wrong, is off track, is not the proper choice at all. And yet, we understand that still, there's this concept of chazor bach. Rabbi Yochanan calls at him and says, come back, because this is your root, this is where you belong. I saw a very phenomenal insight. This is a beautiful sefer that my sister actually bought for me. It's a three-volume set of Svarim by Rav Chaim Drukman from Eretz Yisrael. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So Rav Drukman has, he printed up a number of his drushas from over the years. And he writes here in his comments on Rosh Hashanah that it's interesting. We all know that on Rosh Hashanah, the centerpiece, the focal point of the davening is Tkiyas Shofar. And how does the Torah describe the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar? It says, Bachodesh Ashvi, which is obviously Chodesh Tishrei, Be'echad HaChodesh, which is Rosh Hashanah, Mikra Kodesh Yalachem, Kamalechas Avoda Lo Sa'asu, Yom Trua Yalachem. So, how does the Torah describe what Rosh Hashanah is? It's a Yom Trua. We're supposed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Where is the other time that the Torah says you have an obligation to blow the shofar today? I asked this to my son. What?
Yovel.
I asked this to my son by dinner. I said, where's the other time? He said, Varayosa Machatzotzer. It says when you go out to war, you have to blow the shofar. He's right. It's true. But that's not on a specific calendaric date. Yes, I'm very proud that he knows a pasuk in Chumash. He should. He goes to yeshiva. They're supposed to learn Chumash, right? So it says, V'hariyos ha-mechatzos, but that's not specific to a date. Then he said, I asked him, is there any other place? He says, yes. V'yom simchaschem v'mo'adeichem v'roshei chatzeichem. True. Also, you blow the chatzotzos, but that's not the same shofar. It's not the same. That is an expression of simcha. That when we have Shabbos and Yom Tov, we blow the shofar. B'yom simchasam amuadechem, where we're having an expression of simcha, part of that experience is the music in the Beis HaMikdash, the Chatzotzros, that's all apart. Where is the only other time that the Torah says you have to blow a shofar out of a feeling of desperation or out of a feeling of something unique? That is, as you very correctly pointed out, Yovel. Now what's Yovel? The story of Yovel is you have seven Shemitah cycles and then you have the Yovel year. Now there's a discussion in the Rishonim, even in the Gemara I believe, whether or not we count 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, and then you get to 49, and then the 50th year is a blank, and that's Yovel. Or do you say, no, the 49th year of those sevens is going to be the Yovel. It's Shemitah and Yovel, this 49th year. And then year 50 is really year one of the count for the next 49 years. So that's the discussion, and that is why we have a major discrepancy today. Where are we up to in the Shemitah cycle? Because we're not sure whether or not we're supposed to count 49, and then 50 is a blank, and then start again in year 51. Or do we assume that year 49 counts as not only year 49 of the seven Shemitah cycles, but also of the Yovel as well, and then you count year one of the next Shemitah cycle in year number 50. If you didn't follow any of that, it's fine. Just tune back in now. So here, the Torah says, when it comes to Yovel, so the Yom Kippur after Yovel, what are you supposed to do? So we're told, V'havarta shofar tshuva b'chodesh ha-shvi v'asar l'chodesh. On the 10th day of the month of Tishrei, which is Yom HaKippurim, he's supposed to blow a shofar. Ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha'artzachem. It's to highlight the fact that now it's Yovel and something significant is happening. Now, what is significant? Now, number one, the Gemara says, when you have that instruction to blow the shofar trua during Yovel, from there, says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we learn the details of the halacha of shofar on Rosh Hashanah itself. Isn't that strange? You have Yovel once every 50 years. And from the Yovel once every 50 years, the Gemara learns all the halachas that are necessary for the Rosh Hashanah blowing shofar that is every year. Shouldn't it be the other way? Shouldn't we learn all the halachas of shofar on Rosh Hashanah from the dinim of Rosh Hashanah, and then we should carry it over to the once every 50 years that you also have to blow shofar? We should carry it over there and say the same way you blow shofar Rosh Hashanah is the way you blow shofar on Yovel. But that's not the way it is. The Gemara says it's opposite. We have the halachas by the blowing shofar of Yovel, and from there we extrapolate what the halacha should be by blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Drukman points out that perhaps the same way the Gemara makes that connection between shofar of Yovel and the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, maybe we can also make a hashkafa connection. It's not just that the halacha, the details are learned from one to the other, but also there's a hashkafa connection, and that is, when we blow that shofar, what is the significance of the blowing? So we're told, after you blow the shofar, krasem devara ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha, you have to blow the shofar that everybody should know this is Yovel. Yovel hi ti alachem, v'shavtem ish al achuzaso, v'ish al mishpachto tashuvu. Two things happen during Yovel. Number one, if you have somebody who's captive, somebody who's a slave, so the slave goes free. Number two, if you have properties that have moved around from one family to another, everything goes back to its original land. Rav Drukman so beautifully suggests that's exactly what tshuva is as well. Every year Rosh Hashanah, we're doing the same thing. We're saying that we're letting ourselves free from the shackles of our inclinations that pull us to places where we don't want to be. And we're going free just like we do at Yovel. And we're saying, Yishal Mishpachto Tashuvu. Everyone should go back to the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally put you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of us to be Elokim Asa Asa Adam Yasher. The Ribbono Shel Olam created us to be human beings who are straight. And somehow we go very far away, miles away from the place where we're supposed to be, and we end up in places where we never belonged. And says Rav Drukman, perhaps that's what we take from the shofar of Yovel and implant into the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. It's to remind us that Rosh Hashanah is the opportunity for all of us as we go through the process of tshuva. It's an opportunity for us to remember that we can come back. Chazar b'cha. You can be Reish Lakish. You can be that personality living in the forest. And yet with all of that, you have the opportunity when someone calls out to you to say, Chazar b'cha, you have the opportunity to make that determination, that decision, that you do want to come back, and that you're not going to ignore the calling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting out for you. So the Maharal actually explains that this is what the Gemara means when it says in Yuma that tshuva is so powerful, it is mevi refuah liolam. What do you mean it's mevi refuah? So if somebody does tshuva, they're going to be cured from the infection that they have? They're going to be cured from the cancer? No, that's not what it means. So says the Maharal, what it means is that is the whole process of tshuva. It repairs that which was broken. It's mevi refuah liolam because there are people who are spiritually sick in the world. And the way that tshuva goes through their system and puts them on a journey is something that brings them to a state of refuah. So that was the story of Reish Lakish. And you very correctly pointed out, Reish Lakish is the demus. He is the icon of what tshuva is all about. And the Gemara Maseches Yuma tells us that obviously, whenever we learn a Gemara, every line of the Gemara is significant and everyone is extremely important. But when you read this line of the Gemara Maseches Yuma, coming from the person like Reish Lakish, it should give us a particularly compelling feeling as we read it. So Reish Lakish says the following. Amar Reish Lakish, Gedola tshuva, tshuva is so powerful, shazdonos nasan lo kishgagos. If you do tshuva properly, so then any avera that I may have done intentionally will suddenly turn into an avera that looks like it was only done accidentally. It's nasan kishgagos. Then the Gemara says, really, is that what Reish Lakish said? That an avera that I did intentionally now turns as if I did it by mistake? Don't we know Reish Lakish has another comment? The Reish Lakish, who is the Baal Tshuva par excellence, said the following. Tshuva is so great, shez donos nasen lo, kizchuyos. Not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocks down the severity of the avera to be from something that's bemazed to only be b'shogig. No, it's much better than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take your avera and he'll turn it into a schus. It's as if he did a mitzvah at that time. Amazing. Reish Lakish, I assume, is talking from personal experience, where he says, look what I became, look what I did, I am the Baal Tshuva. So we have a steer on Reish Lakish. On the one hand, Reish Lakish says, Zedonos Nasan Lo Kishgagos. On the other hand, he says, Zedonos Nasan Lo Kishchuyos. So which one is it? So the Gemara answers, there's a major difference between two different types of tshuva. One is tshuva me'ava, and one is tshuva me'ira. Look, there are people that look at Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and they're terrified, and they understand it's a Yom HaDin. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to do tshuva? So I do tshuva me'ira because I'm scared of the consequence if I don't do tshuva. Well, that's one layer of tshuva. And if you do that, then it's zedonos nasan lo kishgagos. However, says the Gemara, if you're involved in a tshuva me'ava, if you repent because you simply love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you want to come closer to Him, so then he writes, then it's in that situation, zedonos nasan lo kishchuyos. Then it's as if everything you've ever done wrong, it's ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if you've done a mitzvah at that time. Based on that understanding, there's a story that Reb Zevin writes in the Sipuri Hasidim. Reb Zevin writes about the Pardichever that he once saw a big, famous Russia, a infamous Russia, I guess, and he's engaging him in conversation, and he turns to him and he says, you know, everybody knows what you're up to. The Russia turns back to him and says, yes, everybody knows, I'm not ashamed, I'll tell you exactly what I do. He says, no, I know what you do, but do you think it's possible that I could ever be jealous of you? And he turns to the Pardichever and he says, why would you ever be jealous of me? I mean, I'm living my life, you're living yours, but why would you be jealous of me? He says, I'm so jealous of you because if you would do tshuva, zedonos nasan lo kishchuyos, everything you've ever done wrong in your life can turn into a schus. Said the Pardichever, do you understand the possibilities that are ahead of you? All I can do is ramach mitzvos. All I have the opportunity to do is 348 mitzvahs. What more can I do? I did the maximum. But you know what you can do? The amount of averus that you've committed that will now turn into a schus. That's unimaginable, the amount of schar. Can you imagine if only you think about tshuva? So it's a beautiful story, like all the stories of the Bar Dishever. I don't know if it happened, it didn't happen, but Lamaisa, it's a beautiful message. And that's what the Kloizenberger Rebbe writes to answer this kasha. What does it mean when we say, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yihi Ratzon Sheyirbu Zechu Yoseinu? What are the facts on the ground? Do I have many schusim, and therefore I'm worthy, B'yom Hadin? Or perhaps do I not have enough schusim, and therefore I'm irrelevant? What are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? The answer is that the Ribbono Shel Olam should allow us to do the process of tshuva me'avra. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to come to an understanding of what tshuva me'avra is all about. Most of us, if we're lucky, I just mentioned yesterday, I was talking to Mrs. Sabalovsky, and she said her husband was joking that every year the Rabbanim are asked to speak here, to speak there, they give me drushas, give me shiurim, and the Shabbat Shuvah drusha, and whatever, everything is so busy. And he says, we're so busy, we don't have time to actually do tshuva. It's a great point. So we have to focus on doing tshuva, number one. But even if you do, most people approach tshuva because they say, the Yom HaDin is here, what am I going to do? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so much is dependent on what happens Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I have to do tshuva, it's tshuva meira. What we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, give us that gift of understanding of what tshuva me'ava can actually accomplish. Give us the opportunity to come back and appreciate what the relationship is about, not because I'm terrified, not because I'm afraid of the consequence if I don't, but because I understand how loving a relationship I have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And how much it's Yemincha Pshuta L'Kabel Shavim. How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants all of us to come back, and He's extending His hand, asking us to come engage with Him in this process of Tshuva Me'ava. And that, says the Kloizenberger Rebbe, is what we ask for when we say, Yihi Ratzon Sheyirba Zechu Yoseinu. If we have the schus, if we have the merit of doing Tshuva Me'ava, then it turns out that Zedonos Nasan Lokis Chuyos. Like the story with the Bar Dishever. Then it turns out everything we've ever done wrong is flipped on its head, and it turns into a merit, turns into a schus. And that is what we ask for. For those words of Reish Lakish, to come to an understanding of what Tshuva Me'ava is all about. And the Chida writes in one of his Sfarim that perhaps this is the understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara has a very startling statement in Maseches Brachos. It's a machlokis actually in the Gemara. Do we assume that Baal Tshuva is greater or Tzadik Gomer is greater? Who's considered to be of higher esteem, of higher standard? Do you say the person who lived all of life, never failed, never did anything wrong, and is always doing the perfect thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do? Tzadik Gomer? Or do you say, no, a Baal Tshuva who failed so many times over and over again and then came back and is living a whole entirely different lifestyle, are they greater? That's a discussion in the Gemara. Rabbi Abbo is one opinion. I forgot who the other opinion is. But the Gemara goes back and forth about it. It's actually a question when the Psukim talk about Yitzchak and Rivka are both davening to have a child, right? So what are we told? Who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to? Tzadik ben Tzadik. So what does that indicate? Rivka, I'm sure, was a great tzaddikess. Rivka was a neviyah. She was married to a great tzaddik. So both of them are davening. So who has more schusim? Who should be listened to? So it should depend on this Gemara. What does the Gemara say? A discussion whether about tshuva is greater or tzaddik gomer is greater. Yitzchak grew up in the house of Avraham Avinu. He never did anything wrong. He was the perfect child. Avraham Avinu gave him the greatest chinuch in the world, sent him to the best yeshivas. And now he turns out to be Yitzchak Avinu. He offers his tefillah. And Rivka offers the tefillah at the same time, but where did Rivka come from? A house of decadence and immorality, a terrible house where she had no chinuch at all, and she came to this place on her own, and she developed herself to be the person who she became because of all of her investment, all of her hard work. So who's greater? Who's greater? What would you say? I would have said Rivka, but yet the pasuk clearly states that Yitzchak's tefillah was answered. Because he was tzaddik ben tzaddik, Rashi says. So that's a problematic story. You have to figure out why that's different than the story here. But the Rambam seems to accept the position of Rabbi Abba, which is that b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim lamud ba. When you have a baal tshuva who's in the room, nobody greater than a baal tshuva. Even if you have a tzaddik gomer, the gadol hador, the greatest person, the baal tshuva is even greater. Baal tshuva is even greater. So the Chida explains, why would that be the case? Why should the Baal Tshuva be greater than the Tzadik Gomer? And he explains based on this passage in the Gemara. Reish Lakish tells us, if somebody does Tshuva Me'ahava, it's very different than someone who does Tshuva Me'ira. Someone who does Tshuva Me'ira is just the baseline. That's the basic level of Tshuva. What does it mean? It means a person is afraid of the Yom HaDin, And as a result of their tshuva process, which is Meira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change it from doing Zedonos, Nasa no Kishgagos. It says, if you did it by mistake, unintentionally, Al-Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha Bevili Das, I didn't mean to do it wrong, Tz'kilu, I did everything by mistake. Still need a kapara, but not so bad. However, a person who does tshuva me'ava, the Gemara says, B'Shem Reish Lakish, Zedonos Nasan Lo Kishchuyos. All of those terrible things I've done in my life, all the bad choices and terrible mistakes that have come into the experience of my lifetime, now are not just looked at as a shogeg, but they're looked at as a schus for me. That's what the Gemara means. Makom shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamud ba. Why? Because a bal tshuva who takes with himself all of the negative experiences that they've had until now, all the terrible mistakes, those now turn into something positive, and therefore it's something that tzadik gemur can never get to. It's exactly the story with the pardichiver. Just the Chida explains it based on the Gemara, and he says this is really what it means when the Gemara tells us this very encouraging message, that a person who goes into the tshuva with this kind of understanding will have the opportunity to profoundly change the outcome of the din. I think the second way to explain this whole idea of Shigirbu Zuchiyosenu, what exactly is it about? So I was reminded of a comment of the Chovas HaLevavos. Chovas HaLevavos writes something which, to be honest, I never really fully understood how in Yiddishkeit this actually works. It sounds a little bit unusual to me, and I don't know where to look to try to understand it better. But the Chovas HaLevavos writes that there was a chassid echad who told him. I assume this was a very pious person. He doesn't say who it is. Maybe he means himself. I'm not sure. But he says that there was a chassid echad who told him the following story. That somebody comes to the audit at the end of time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a conversation with you. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask you, so let me look through all the different things, the calculation of what you did in your life, what you didn't. And this person is going to look at it and say, whoa, what are you talking about? I never did all of those things. I never learned all that Gemara. I was never sitting at the Daf Yomi Shir. I never came to davening. How is that? You mixed up my file. This is somebody else's. And in the opposite direction as well. I never killed anybody. I never ate machalas asuros. How can that be in my file? You're mixing up. You have it wrong. And they're going to start arguing, negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to look back and say, listen, you're correct. Maybe you never did it. However, you caused a lot of pain to somebody else. You spoke Lashon Hara or Rechilos or Motzi Shemra about another person. And as a result of that, their file gets switched to yours. All of their terrible things that they may have done get switched to your account. Now, how exactly that works, I don't understand exactly. Schabra Onesh, I don't know how it fits into everything, but this is what the Chovas HaLevavos writes. And they say, in the comments on the bottom of the Chovas HaLevavos, they have all these commentaries now, they point you to the Magid Meisharim, which is the book that the Beis Yosef wrote about his conversations with the Malach, and they write that the Malach told the Beis Yosef the same thing. Okay, so it's obviously something that has very credible sources, even without the Beis Yosef. The Chovas HaLevavos is a very important sefer. But that's what he writes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the negative traits of a person who was spoken about and give it to the person who spoke Lashon Hara about them. It's a powerful statement. It tells you how severe the Aveir of Lashon Hara, Rechilas Motzi Shemra, actually is. So based on that, perhaps the answer to this question is as follows. What does it mean when we say Zedonos Nasan Lo Kishkagos? I'm sorry, that was the first answer. What does it mean when we say Sheyarbu Zechuyosenu? What does it mean when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us more merit? The answer is, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have the opportunity to realize that if we ever did anything wrong and spoke negatively about another person, we hope we'll be granted a mechila, we hope we'll do tshuva for that, and then regain our schusim that were taken away from us. They were given to somebody else because we did something wrong, we spoke Lashon Hara, ben adam l'chaver, we hurt another person. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us the insight, give us the foresight, give us the understanding of how it is that we can come back to our own schusim. Sheyar b'schuyosenu, all the schusim that were stolen from us, we hope to get them back. Because we want to engage in a real tshuva process, not only for ben adam l'makom, but also for ben adam l'chavero. So this is something that I found to be a very interesting discussion, a very interesting insight. And he says, that's what it means when we say, one of the Achronim says, that's what it means when we say, kasvenu b'sefer zechuyos. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write us in the book of zechusim. What do you mean? Either you belong there or you don't belong there. And the answer, I think, is the Ben Ishchai writes, the answer is, kasvenu b'sefer zechuyos means, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to come back into our own Sefer Zechuyos. The Zechusim that we have accrued throughout our life, that were taken away from us because of something we said about another person, we ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to do Tshuva Ben Adam LaChaveiro for those things, and to take back our own Zechusim that are on our own accounting. Don't allow them to be taken away by someone else. Don't allow them to now be taken out of our calculation. Bring them back to our own Sefer Zechuyos, which is a whole new understanding of Kasveina B'Sefer Zechuyos. Normally we ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu, write us in the book of Zchusim, in the book of Merit. So the question that he's bothered with is, how can that be? Either you belong there or you don't belong there. And the answer he writes is, we should have the fortitude, we should have the insight and the strength to be able to say that we regret all of those terrible things, Be'nanam L'chaver, that we may have done. We hope the other person will grant us a mechila for what it is that we may have done. And as a result of that, we hope to come back into our own Sefer Zechuyos. And perhaps that's what we mean as well when we say, Yehi Ratzon She'yarbe Zechuyoseinu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should have the Siyata D'Shmaya, the gift of being able to be Shav, B'tshuva, Me'ahava, not only Me'ira, to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to have the opportunity to not only rectify the Ben Adam Lamakom, but also the Ben Adam Lachavero, that is part of our very important cheshbon that we need to think about as we go into Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim.